Welcome to The Honest Uproar, a podcast where modern, child-free women share their life stories and where we discuss important topics for the kid-free community. I'm Isabel, your host, and founder and firebrand of The Uprising Spark, a digital platform that offers life coaching products and services for modern, independent, child-free women. Our aim is to build a strong female community and to connect empowered women around the globe. Hello, Firecrackers, and welcome to a new episode of The Honest Uproar. Today, I have Cass joining us. Hello, Cass. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Okay, Cass, so can you tell us, me and the audience, a little bit about yourself? How old you are, what you do, what you're passionate about?
I'm 47. I am a graphic designer. I'm self-employed. Have been since about 2010. I enjoy my work, but it's just not doing it for me creatively anymore. So I've recently taken up photography as a hobby. Very much an amateur, but people are letting me practice on them, which is great. So I'm studying that as well. I have two cats. My mum and I live together, which a lot of people think is odd. Like, oh my God, how can you live with your mother? I love my mum. Yeah. So we're very fortunate and, just happy, all good.
And where do you live in Australia?
I live in Wollongong, which is about an hour south of Sydney.
Okay. And you've been a graphic designer all your life, or did you do anything before that?
I come from a signage and print background.
Okay.
And into design. So I have a lot of practical experience there. And then I went into design, and years later I actually studied it. So I sort of did everything. I've done my career backward.
Yeah. Like many of us.
Yeah. But it is fun.
So would you say you're like passionate about photography now?
More so than work, actually. Yeah. I get to do what I want with that.
Yeah.
No one tells me what to do. So that's the fun part of photography.
Well, that's awesome. I really like photography as well, but I never got around to practicing it. But lately, I've been buying a lot of like gadgets for my phone. Like, you know, the phones now have really good cameras, right? And so I've been getting like lenses for my phone, and I'm just kind of like taking pictures. But of course, I'm far from being a photographer. I just like having pictures, especially of my dog in my phone. That's like my main subject.
I'm far from it too. I'm taking less cat photos these days, which is good.
Oh, well, you know, they're like a little kids that we never want to have, right? Our pets.
Yeah. Well, people who ask, do you have any kids? Yes, two cats. Okay, you're one of those people.
Yeah, we all are. I think most child-free people have at least one pet. So tell me about the decision to become child-free. When did you decide this? Was it recently? Was it a long time ago? And why?
I think it's always been there. And I will say that I never wanted kids, but like that's about 98% true. Like when I was in my early 20s, I had a housemate who was a single mum of two boys who were 6 and 9 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing someone and I thought, oh, you know, it would be kind of cool to have, you know, a little person. And she pulled me up and said, I really want you to think about this long and hard. I love my boys with all my heart. I'd never be without them, but this is a tough gig. Use your brain. So that phase lasted about 3 days and I got over it. Thank God she pulled me into line, because if she hadn't, I might have made the biggest mistake of my life. I tend to jump into things without thinking too hard about them, and oh my goodness, I'm glad I didn't do that. But other than that, I don't really have a maternal instinct, you know. I don't coo over babies. I don't hate kids. I just don't want any.
Yeah.
Like my friends, but they can, you know, they can go home when I'm done talking to them.
Yeah. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, I go out of my way to avoid stress wherever possible. And I don't know, I think the responsibility of having to raise someone would be a little too stressy for me. And essentially I'm lazy, so no. I'm not going there.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. So what are your hobbies other than photography?
I'm actually filling up a lot of time with that now, but I'm also a workaholic, so, you know, time is pretty full there. I like to travel a bit, but because I'm self-employed, that can only be Christmas and Easter time. I'm just into self-preservation, so if I want downtime, I take it. And, I just fill up moments with whatever I feel like doing because I can't sit still in one spot for too long.
Yeah.
But I don't have, like, hours and hours and hours of free time every week. Like, I have friends who are like, oh, you've got to watch this series on Netflix. I'm like, I don't have time. I'm not going to invest an hour every day to binge watch stuff. Sorry. It's nice to be able to choose what I do with my time, but I don't have a whole lot of it just free to waste.
Okay. And you just mentioned you're self-employed. So you have your own company.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how long have you had it for?
This one was born in July of 2010.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm getting on a bit. Yeah. I'm getting better as I go along too, which is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I moved into my office last year. My assistant who was with me when I lived in Sydney, which was I moved about a year ago, we went our separate ways for a while and she came back just a few months ago. That's great. So we're working together again. But right now she's actually taken off to Germany for a few months. So I'm like, oh, it's very, very quiet here. I like the freedom of being able to do what suits me as far as the business is concerned. I get a little annoyed sometimes because people are like, oh, you're self-employed. You can just do whatever you want, come and go as you please. Oh, you must be loaded. Oh, no. There's a lot of pressure to make it work. But, you know, we hang in there, we work hard and we move forward.
Yeah.
Put it on the table and everybody's happy.
Yeah. I think there is a misconception in general of child-free people or even childless, you know, people with no real responsibilities towards other human beings, basically, that are entrepreneurs, that everyone thinks that, you know, you're loaded, like you just mentioned, and you have all this time in the world. But really, if you look into their lives, you'll see that 100% of entrepreneurs just really work their asses off.
Yeah, yeah. In a previous job, my partner at the time and I ran a business together and we worked 24/7. I mean, countless concerts I bought tickets for and we just didn't go because we never, ever took the time. I promised myself I'd never do that again. Oh. I'm still a workaholic, but, you know, at the moment, during Christmas time, because I work for retail marketing, I have to take phone calls at any time that people call and I've got to do the hours that I've got to do, but I will insist on at least taking one day off a week or back to that self-preservation. I'm not doing that to myself again. It's not worth it. And no amount of money is worth killing yourself over a job for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I found I'm a lot happier this way.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, self-care is very important. And that takes me to our next subject. So do you feel that after you made the decision of taking more time for yourself and not being, you know, 100% or 150% invested in your business, but actually giving yourself some time to breathe and decompress, do you feel that that's helped you love yourself more?
I'm definitely being nicer to myself. I think these days I feel like I kind of deserve that, whereas I never really used to. I was just the workhorse.
Mm-hmm.
Just to throw a curveball, things changed a lot 4 years ago when I decided to get sober. The business was basically very little more than a hobby and my life was in the toilet. You know, when you're a drunk, things don't always go so well. So I picked that up and turned it around completely and everything changed. Got busy. I got better at doing the work. I actually started to care. It was the best decision that I've ever made for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm nicer to myself these days. I have more time for other people. Just every aspect of my life changed at that point. Took a little while to get used to, but it's something that's actually made me realize I am worth investing a little bit of time in, and I like that.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's really important. And regarding the sobering up, which, by the way, congratulations, because I know that's super hard to do. Did you get help from someone else or people around you, or was it like you just deciding not to continue down that path and just changing everything around you?
Well, this is not the first time that I've been sober, but it is the last. Mm-hmm. I'm just not going back there. I have been in and out of AA several times. Unfortunately, like, that works for some people. It doesn't work for everyone. I'm not one of those that it works for. A friend of mine, 6 months after I quit drinking, she went into rehab, and that worked really well for her. And we caught up at the time when she was still in rehab and had a discussion. It was funny that we approached it from two completely different angles. We're both very happily sober still now. So something there worked for her. I didn't have that resource, so I basically just had to do it myself. And it's hard, but something I have learned, you need to want it.
Yeah.
Because previous times I had been talking myself into, oh, you know, if I ever get around to visiting Russia, then I'll have a vodka. Well, guess what? I did go to Russia several years after that thought and drowned myself in vodka. This time I don't want to go back. I'm happy here. I don't have to go back. And I think that's the big difference in being able to stay clean is wanting it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, which is why I'm still smoking cigarettes, because I really like them. But one of these days I'll break up with them. Yeah, sorry, I've sidetracked you completely.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, this is what this podcast is about, you know, just talking to people about their real lives. And I think it's very valuable, you know, bringing that to the table. It's because there's, I mean, it's such a taboo in so many societies, not only alcohol, but many other addictions, and overcoming them is actually really hard. I myself haven't experienced that, but I have very close people in my family that have. And when you see them spiraling down and you can't really do anything for them, because if something I have learned during this last years is, if you don't want to change your life, nobody else around you can help you do that. You know what I mean? Like, it has to come from within. Otherwise, it's not going to work. You can have all the support and all the love from your family, your friends, your peers. But if you really are not in the mindset to, you know, go there, it's really hard. So I think that change that you had in your, you know, your thoughts and your feelings regarding that, and also that you wanted to take more care of yourself, that just speaks volumes about how much now you actually regard, I mean, how much more now you love yourself than you did before when you were having this issue.
In fact, in February, I had my inner forearm tattooed with serenity, courage, wisdom.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a little anniversary present to myself. So I've got the serenity and I know I've got the wisdom. I'm just still working on the courage. And I think that will always be there. But, you know, people see it and go, oh, what does that mean? I'm like, well, it's the alcoholic's prayer, but it can mean all things to all people.
Yeah.
The serenity to accept the things we can't change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So I think courage will always be that challenge, but it's there every day. I have to look at it now and I have to try harder, I think.
I think it's funny though that you say that, because the first thing that you, when you started talking about sobering up, that was the first word that came to my mind, that you were a courageous person for doing that. You know, it takes a lot to go through that. And yeah, so that's awesome, really.
Oh, just a little.
You're listening to The Honest Uproar, a podcast where modern, child-free women share their life stories and where we discuss important topics for the kid-free community. Now, if we were to measure how much you love yourself today in a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being not at all and 10 being, you know, the absolute and healthy love for oneself, where would you place yourself in that scale?
Maybe a 7.
A 7? Okay.
I think essentially I'm a decent person. Certainly not perfect. Try to be nice. I don't know how I'm actually judging how much self-love I have. Is that a matter of how much do I like myself? How much do I think that I project goodness onto other people? I'm not sure, but probably a 7, I'd say. I think I'm okay.
Yeah, well, that's a really good number. I mean, sometimes you hear people that really have very little regard for themselves. 7 is a good number. And what do you think you're still lacking to get to 10?
I'm not sure I'll ever get to 10, and that's okay. There's room for as a bit of a buffer. Mm-hmm. I don't hate myself like I have done in the past. And if we're, you know, maybe take happiness as a guide, because if I didn't like myself very much, I don't think I'd be particularly happy, but I'm really freaking happy. so that's why I sort of took a stab at number 7.
Yeah, that is definitely the most important thing. Like, if you can measure it somehow, that would be it. Because happiness means something completely different to everyone, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
So,
and I think different from contentedness, which I have. And I think you can be completely content in your life and still not be happy.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful I have a bit of both, and I'm not trying to skite about it. I think I'm just very fortunate. I think a lot of that actually comes from being able to just be quiet when I want to,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not locked into responsibilities of dealing with other people's lives. I can walk in and walk out whenever I want to. And okay, that might sound really selfish, but again, self-preservation. And I think having a buffer between myself and other people's issues is handy. It wasn't planned, but it's handy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
How do you feel about your self-confidence?
It's not too bad.
Yeah.
It's not too bad. It's probably a lot better than it was 20 years ago, even 10 years ago. Because I don't care particularly about other people's opinions of me, apart from work aside. The professional side is a whole different personality. But, you know, when you're in your 20s and you're, you know, you go out dressed to the nines, all your girlfriends are picking up and you're the ugly duckling and you're like, oh, well, you know, you feel kind of crappy about yourself. I was always the ugly duckling. Nowadays, I don't care. If anyone actually tried to buy me a drink, I think I'd be like, oh, no, thanks, I'm good. But I'm comfortable in my own skin,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I'm 47, I'm average to squishy build. Certainly no Elle Macpherson, but it's all good. Like, I don't care about the outside anymore,
mm-hmm.
which is a bit of a relief, really.
Yeah.
I haven't worn makeup in years. I mean, mostly because it gets quite hot here and it just slides right off your face, which is quite a tragic look. You can have panda eyes before you go home. Yeah. I've forgotten what your question is. God, I'm babbling so badly.
No.
You're a great conduit for babble, I tell you what. Very getting away to you. Where were we?
We were talking about self-confidence.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Which part of your life do you feel more confident? Is it at work or is it with your friends or significant others?
Probably talking to people. I think it's hilarious that when you're a kid, your parents go out of their way to teach you stranger danger and never, never talk to strangers. But talking to strangers now is one of my favorite things. I will talk to anyone anywhere. I love it.
You meet
some astoundingly interesting people, whether it be, you know, you're at some kind of event and you're chatting to the organizer, or you're out on the street and you see someone who's just, you know, sitting there because that's where they live. I'm happy just to talk to anyone. And I guess I'm not sure if I've always had that, but yeah, it's one of the fun things about traveling too, is whether or not you can speak the language, you've still got sign language, so you can always have a chat with anybody, really. Mm-hmm. I find that a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, be yourself and enjoy the company of strangers. I've met a lot of really fascinating people that just happened to cross my path and I just started talking at.
Yeah.
I'm talking at people.
I think that's awesome. You know, if I'm traveling by myself, or, you know, if I'm just by myself somewhere and somebody talks to me, like, I will strike up a conversation with them. I'm approachable, but I will, like, I get really self-conscious when I, you know, trying to go up to someone and just talk to them. It's just really hard. And I wish I could do that. That's so cool.
I think I remember actually when that started. It was longer ago than I thought. Actually, you just reminded me. When I was 21, I went overseas for the first time with a friend who was 10 years my senior, and she was very, very well-traveled, and I'd never been anywhere. And she said to me afterward, did you realize at the beginning of the trip you wouldn't go up to any of the counters at the airlines, or you wouldn't talk to anyone, and by the end of the trip you were the one pushing past me, running up to the counter to chat to whoever was there. Did you notice that change in yourself? And I thought, oh, wow. She had told me before we left, travel will change you. I had no idea. I didn't even see it happening. But now, I guess, like I said, I'll talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. I think that helps a lot. And yeah, most of the time people will talk back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And is that self-confidence? I guess it is.
Well, I think everyone has different definition. It's funny because when I ask people, some people think that self-esteem and self-confidence are the same thing. Some people think they're correlated. Some people think they're not correlated at all. So it just depends on, you know, your personal view of it, basically. It's interesting, I think, too, because I got someone told me the other day, I mean, that she thought that you could be very confident and have zero to none, like, self-esteem. And she gave me an example, and I was like, huh, I'd never thought about that. In my case, I think they're completely correlated. Not the same thing, but I think they're correlated. So
yeah, I'm not sure that there's a whole lot of difference. But again, it's a very personal thing because it's about how you see yourself and how you feel about yourself. And therefore, I don't know if anyone else can define it apart from yourself.
Exactly.
Confidence and esteem are. So I might think they're exactly the same thing and someone else might say, no, they're polar opposites. But it is what it means to them and it is what it means to me. And frankly, I think it's a bit of a gray area, so I can't really answer that very well anyway.
No, I mean, this is exactly what I meant. It's very personal. I think it's also a very personal thing. And yeah, sometimes it helps to know what a person thinks about self-confidence and how it relates to self-esteem, because if they correlate it very, if they think they're the same thing or they're like very tightly correlated, then you can actually help that person increase their self-love through getting them to do exercises in self-confidence. So it becomes a sort of like a tool in a way. But yeah, I mean, definitely, I think having both is very important. Not being overly confident or not being, you know, a narcissist. That's not, I mean, all the extremes are bad, but we need to have, you know, some of both.
Yeah, you can love yourself without completely being in love with yourself, and you can be confident without being an asshole about it.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is the lesson for today. Don't be an ass about it.
Exactly. So, Kaz, do you have any activities or any practices that you do consciously to improve your self-esteem?
Let me think. No, I don't think that I push myself in any way. I can give an example of self-esteem. I'm going backward in my life a lot here, but, you know, my father, who I haven't spoken to since I was 22, wasn't great at encouraging good self-esteem. I was the lucky one. He was awful, awful, awful to my brother and my mother. So really, I didn't cop it too badly. But I think as you go along in life, if you're lucky enough, I guess, you get to do little things that boost your self-esteem and you don't even realize. I remember one day I was eating a Mars bar, and he said to me, oh, don't eat that, you'll end up looking like your mother. And out of nowhere, I said, and what would be wrong with that? She's beautiful.
Awesome.
I'm like, I'll just say that out loud, he's going to help me. But he didn't. He just shut up and walked away. And I thought, oh, that went well.
Yeah.
So I started getting a little feisty and standing up for myself. And I think it's kind of organic, this thing, but that's how it happened for me. I guess it is different for everyone. Sometimes you need a circle of really good friends to lift you up. I have been there. Sometimes you just have to remind yourself that you're worth it. I've been there. I guess when I pulled myself out of that alcoholic hole, that was a conscious decision. I didn't expect it to improve the way that I felt about myself, but it did. Yeah. I don't remember ever doing anything deliberate to try to feel better about myself.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of...
Apart from maybe a little black dress and some makeup, but really that never helped, so...
it helps sometimes, I think. Oh, Kaz, and there's... before I let you go, so we spoke before and you told me about this little new project that you have for child-free people. Would you tell us about that?
Yes. And can I just say, firstly, I believe there's a big difference between child-free and childless.
Yeah.
I have friends who have had miscarriages, one had a stillbirth, abortions, for whatever reason, can't have kids, childless. I'm not picking on you. It's the child-free, childless by choice. The business is called Kidless and the website is kidless.com.au, and it's just sort of funny shirts and mugs and stuff with messages about the freedom of not having sproglets. Like, you know, you might find a mug that says babies are gross, or t-shirts that say choose quiet. There is a lot of cute, nice stuff. It's not all evil. It's not picking on breeders very much. It's just a bit of fun. So it's a sideline business. It's not anything particularly serious, but it's something that I've sort of been picking away at for a while. I'll probably have to do something with marketing soon. Yeah, I'll get around to that.
Well, I've visited your site and I was laughing for all the time I was there. It's so funny. And so I will leave the link to your website in this in the podcast website. So anyone around in Australia, do you do international shipping as well or just Australia?
It is actually a Shopify business. So the suppliers print and send directly. So apparently they will ship anywhere in the world.
Awesome.
I will say that I was chatting to a couple of friends before a gig the other night, and they are both parents, and they both said, it's brilliant, I love it, I want that I don't want to be here t-shirt for the next time I have to go to a kids' party.
Yeah.
I parents, oh, I wasn't even live yet, but yeah, it's a bit of fun.
It is. Okay, so you heard it here, guys. I will leave you the link for Cass's shop so you can go and just get yourself a nice mug or a t-shirt that says, I don't want to be here. So Cass, right before I let you go, is there anything else you would like to add to our interview?
Thank you for having me. It wasn't as scary as I thought it would be. Sorry for talking so much. And I'm really looking forward to hearing the other interviews.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure to host you. And thanks again for your time.
Thank you for listening to The Honest Uproar, a podcast where modern, child-free women share their life stories and where we discuss important topics for the kid-free community. We hope you tune in next week for our newest episode. And since we love hanging out with you, please be sure to follow us on social media at The Honest Uproar and visit our website at thehonestuproar.com. If you like what you heard, feel free to share with your fierce child-free firecracker friends. Until next time, continue fueling your inner fire.